technology definitely is a tool in the hands of the teachers. I always say that technology is a tool. The basic is the teacher. And you know, the teacher has her own style of teaching that should not get sidelined anywhere. Only thing is she has to utilize these tools of technology to make her teaching even more better, to upgrade her teaching, I would say. Now technology gives you the capacity to go as per each student. You can analyze what each student is doing, which was not possible when you are teaching a class of 40. You had just one method of teaching and you were all the 40 children were taught by that method. You had just one set of assessment which was given to all the 40 students, and then all the 40 students were rated as per that.
Welcome to the Learning Circle, the ultimate video podcast for educators and parents who want to unleash the full potential of children. Join us as we explore the fascinating world of learning with the help of thought leaders who will share their knowledge and stories with us. This is your host, Kavleen Kaur, and I'm excited to take you on this journey. Get ready to be inspired, informed, and entertained. Good morning, everyone. Dr. Paramjeet Kaur, Director, Arya Samaj Group of Schools, Ludhiana, has led BCM Arya School as the principal for 23 years and brought it on the summit of unparalleled success. For her sterling contribution to education, Dr. Kaur has received numerous awards and accolades, including the National Teacher Award by former President of India, Honorable Shri Pranab Mukherjee, and National CBSE Teachers Award, Vidya Ratan Award, Swabhiman Award, Dr. S. Radhakrishna Samman Award, and many, many more awards. She also received special letters of appreciation by His Excellency, Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam, for various projects undertaken by her. Dr. Kaur is an avid reader and prolific writer who has several publications under her belt. She has authored various research papers and articles. Ma'am, it's an honor to have you here today with us.
Thank you so much. It's absolutely my honor also to talk to you all today. So I wish we have a good interaction.
Yes, definitely. Ma'am, it would be my best attempt to actually gain from your insights. So to begin today's discussion, you have extensive experience in the field of education. Request you to share your journey in the world of education, sharing the key moments, the challenges, the moments which inspired you the most. So all the things that, brought you to the current role in the education world.
Okay. My journey in the field of education has been a roller coaster ride. So, and I've enjoyed each bit of it. And for 2 years before my marriage, I was teaching in Shivalik Public School in Chandigarh. And after I got married here in Ludhiana, I joined BCM, Shastri Nagar BCM, the present school where I was for 23 years as principal. Before that, I was PGT chemistry for almost 10 years, and for few months I was vice principal cum principal, because I was too young at that time, and the school, it was a big school, and they were looking for a principal for the school, and they made me the vice principal. While I was the vice principal, they were looking for a principal, a mature principal for the school. And during those months, I carried on the work that was, a routine work of the school very effortlessly. And they kept on interviewing different people for the principal's post. So ultimately, after a few months, they decided that we'll promote her only as the principal. And so that is how, from vice principal, they just erased vice from there, and I became the principal. And the first day of this millennium, 1st January 2000, when they said that the millennium is going to start, new millennium, that was my first day as a principal of the school. And I carried on being the principal of the school. And while I was the principal, I did my PhD in education, though my subject was chemistry. But then since I had ventured into the field of education, so I said, why not learn something more about education? So I did my research in education itself during my journey as the principal. I did it from Punjab University, Chandigarh. And while I was working, my work was applauded, you know, in the form of awards from various forums, though I seldom used to get time to go and, you know, just put up my case. Sometimes my file used to get late because of the work I had in my mind and, you know, something was going on. I was more interested in that. So, but then the awards came along and I went on working, and the strength of my school grew. I think when I joined, it was about 3,000. It went up to 6,500 students in the CBSE. And then I started off, while I was doing this, I started with the Cambridge school also. Now that is a full-fledged school. We've got Cambridge International School affiliated to IGCSE. I've got a different principal there who runs that block. I got started another branch that's in the outskirts of Ludhiana at a place called Lalto. That school is also doing well. It's got a separate principal. So while I was in this school, I started off with three schools. So it grew into three more schools. So, and once I retired, my management had let me go. They said, you come over and take care of the other schools that we have. We have a Gurukul, we have a school with the Punjab board also. So we, you know, so I'm now director of these few schools.
Right. Yeah. So that has been an interesting journey, and I can very well see and feel the passion that you still have after all these years for education. And also that, you know, previously when we were discussing over messages and calls, you think that there has to be a lot of evolution in education, in the classrooms, in the learning methodology. So what drove you to that point of view? What are the challenges that you have seen over a period of time, especially with Generation Z and now Generation Alpha coming into the school? So what are the various challenges and why the education word needs to evolve?
Yeah, see, when I joined the field of education, we just had the blackboard and the chalk. Those were the teaching aids, the bland, you know, maximum we could take a globe or a chart or anything into the classroom. So that was what all class, and then you had to be a good speaker to, you know, to engage all the students and take everybody's attention. And you need to have a good handwriting so that, you know, the children can follow what you're writing. So I always thought that, yes, I am a good teacher because I am a good speaker, I can communicate well, I can write well, I can draw well. And so these were the questions. But then as the time passed, you know, at the most we used to have those, we never had those printers and all, only cyclostyle machines maximum. And typewriters were there. So I'm from that era. So, but then we have grown, we have evolved with the time. I keep writing blogs, and always whatever blog I write, it is very relevant to what I experience. It's not that just I get something from here and there. One of my latest blogs was that you have to keep reinventing yourself to stay relevant. You have to stay relevant, and to stay relevant, you have to reinvent yourself. So I was the first one. When I took over the reins of the school, I said technology is something which we cannot just ignore. So I started training my teachers, you know, there with this what do you call, Bill Gates and all, they had some training programs way back in the year 2001 2002. So I picked up a teacher who was good enough in these computer skills and got her trained, and when she was trained, she came back, and then that effect was cascaded to the rest of the teachers. I made the teachers stay back after the school for half an hour. I used to provide them refreshment and tea and everything. But that training started, you know, that you had that computer savvy, you had to become. And once this, my teachers were trained, I put up a request to the management that I need to have, you know, these computers or plasmas was something which was very high. Even I couldn't think of plasmas at that time. I said, I need to have computers in my classrooms. So it was something very The management thought that madam, what is it having computers in classrooms? We have a traditional way of teaching, and we were doing very well in that. They said that we'll make a new school, and new school will have computers in every classroom. I said, nothing doing. We are not going to do like that. Tradition and technology has to go together. It has to have these classrooms have to be. So that, my president at that time was quite a visionary. He said, we'll go by that and we'll buy computers or plasmas for our classrooms. And so that is when 2005, 2006, the plasmas came to my classrooms. And once the plasmas were ordered, I said, these plasmas should not be a showpiece in my classroom. Teachers should know how to use them, how to utilize these to teach the children well. So that my journey started from there. My challenge was this, that my teachers have to, for that I had to be computer savvy first. I had to understand the terms myself, and then so that journey started. And then now I think my principal just went few days back. She was in Delhi, and we've been awarded the best technology-led school in the northern region. So the journey has been like that. Even the principal, the present principal, she was groomed by me for about 25 years. She was she occupied various positions in my school, and then she was the headmistress before I promoted her to be the principal of this. So the journey has been like that, but we have not been let down. We have been continuously evolving, learning some new things every time, not only me. I had to take my teachers along with me. So the entire staff had to be trained, and that is how we've reached where we are today.
Right. It's very endearing to see a seasoned educator like yourself also believe in technology and actually try to convince the management and others that yes, technology is required, and that is the only way to go forward. We cannot always keep following the traditional approaches. So there you talked about one way that you yourself addressed the challenges, the resistance that was there. And once you implemented these things, so what have been the changes, the positive changes that you have witnessed with the adoption of technology, with the evolution of these models, especially for Generation Z learners?
Yeah, so technology definitely is a tool in the hands of the teachers. I always say that technology is a tool. The basic is the teacher. And the teacher has her own style of teaching that should not get sidelined anywhere. Only thing is, she has to utilize these tools of technology to make her teaching even more better, to upgrade her teaching, I would say. Now, technology gives you the capacity to go as per each student. You can analyze what each student is doing, which was not possible when you are teaching a class of 40. You had just one method of teaching, and all the 40 children were taught by that method. You had just one set of assessment which was given to all the 40 students, and then all the 40 students were rated as per that. So it was something which was not acceptable, I would say. But now, with the use of technology, with the use of artificial intelligence into the tools that we are using, we are able to customize our teaching lessons to the students. And then one thing more, while we were training our teachers, we were getting computer savvy, we had always this mind of online classes in our mind that we could do that, but we never used to do it because offline teaching, face-to-face teaching is always better. When you're talking face-to-face, I think that is the best way you could teach. At least that is what we felt before the COVID. So because my teachers were already having that basic knowledge, when COVID came along, overnight we could change over to the online mode, because that thing, that the undercurrent was already there. Had it been that my teachers were not knowing anything about technology, anything about operating these technological tools, we would have had a tough time. But all my teachers took to online teaching just like fish takes to water. So that was something which ultimately paid off after so many years of hard work. And so I think that is what I would say that this is how technology has helped us.
Yeah, so that's a very key message there, that it is necessary to be in step with the times, because then when things suddenly change, then you are able to the entire infrastructure, the entire the teachers and all are also able to quickly migrate, because they already have the necessary trainings. So there is
Yes.
lesser learning curve when things change drastically, which we know that things are
Absolutely.
unpredicted. Technology itself is changing at a very fast rate. So to be in step with the times is the right way to go, right?
Absolutely.
And you also
Absolutely.
mentioned about tailoring the lessons and the assessment to the needs of students. So that is a personalized learning which is enabled by technology, right? So that is
Yes.
one key advantage of technology, as you shared. Ma'am, I would request you to elaborate on the concept of hybrid learning and how that has a potential to redefine the education landscape.
Definitely, definitely. Hybrid learning, as we could always call it, the blended mode of learning. Earlier we just had one concept that students have to come to the class, they have to sit in the class, take down the notes, and then learn those notes when they have to come for the exam. So this is what all teaching learning was. This was all about it. But nowadays, this generation, we call it Generation Z, Gen Z, we also call them Gen Alpha now. They've gone beyond Z also. So these children are different. They are not like us, like we were. They are much more advanced. They do not believe in these mundane ways of learning. They would not, love to come to a class and sit there and, watch lectures or listen to lectures and take down notes. They don't want this. They want their teaching to be, that whole learning process to be very immersive. They want to be engaged, in this whatever learning is happening. And once they are doing their own work, if in case they have a query, they need a ready solution. They should have low barriers to this access. They need an access to get whatever they want, maybe by the click of a button. So when this Gen Z is like that, our teaching methodology has to be changed. And this hybrid learning, hybrid teaching takes care of that. You in a situation like this, you have both options. You can have in-person teaching. The teacher is there, the instructor is there. You can have a big group of students. They are being taught. You could have a small group. They are being taught. Okay, some things are being given online. The teacher shares a small video and says either the teacher shows it in the classroom when it is in hybrid learning, they have the provision for this, for showing that video related to his teaching. And then, or he can share it with the students and tell them to watch them at their own convenient time, at their place. So that takes care of that. And so this is mixing of the digital content. And this you can have certain videos, assessments, which could be done after the class. So it is a combination of both offline and online. We can call it synchronous, asynchronous. We can have some children, and then it could be a combination of both. But half of the class is sitting there. They came to the class today and they are listening to the teacher. But at the same time, that the things are going online, there are some children who could not come due to certain reasons. They are sitting and watching and learning at their own place, at their own convenient, wherever they are. So this is going parallel. So it's a hybrid mode of learning. It could be both ways. It is going same time here, and it is not, there are no barriers, geographical barriers. The child could be here in the city, could be in another city, could be in some other part of the world, and were sitting and watching the lecture. So it has that those barriers are shattered. And so this is what hybrid is. That, and then suppose now, you have extreme summers. You get an order by the DC, close the schools for 10 days, 5 days. So we close the schools, but We have this provision of online teaching. Teachers would take the classes online. So this is a hybrid. It's going on offline as well as online. It's good for us and good for everyone. You know, there are no barriers, and there is no whenever if a child doesn't have time now, he can the things could be recorded. He could, you know, watch it at his own convenient time. So this is what is hybrid about. It both online, offline.
Right. So hybrid learning brings several advantages for students as well as teachers by removing all the barriers that we have, the geographical barriers, the time barriers, maybe the resource shortage. So all these things can be overcome by including hybrid learning methodology in our teaching practices. The only thing is that we need to have a flexible mindset and adopt all these methods in delivering the teachings.
And a child can go at his own pace. Some children learn fast. Okay, the other child could do it, you know, at his own leisure. He can see the recorded thing and then go at a slower pace and do it slowly so that at different paces it can be done.
So that again, you know, brings us to the personalized learning model where the timelines, the ability of each child can be honored, right? And that's the way to go forward given the fast pace of change in the world. And then that also brings us to other technological advancements like IoT, Internet of Things, and artificial intelligence, which are also these tools are also available to us. And how is IoT contributing to the creation of a more connected and accessible learning environment? And how AI is reshaping education? So there are these two different questions in there.
I think just like hybrid learning, going beyond, we have this Internet of Things. We also call it the cloud connected platform. And it's a platform where the students, the teachers, the administrators, everybody is connected. You know, and then when they get connected, the things would happen for the betterment. For example, the activities, the assessments, the assignments, all these could be shared, could be between the students when they are all connected on a common platform, which we call as the cloud connected platform or the Internet of Things, as you are saying. So all the children would be sharing across the boundaries, could be here, could be in some other countries. So the children, automatically that standard would go. Administrators also would get to know the best practices or the best curriculums that are being followed. They could have the same for their institutions. So administrators are at the same platform. Teachers are at the same platform. They could share best practices. It's very important to share the best practices. You may be doing your best. Okay, fine, you're doing very well. But there are so many teachers, you know, doing their best. So if in case you share your best, in return, you get so many best things for yourself. So that sharing is very important. That it is that, you know, the teachers would share their notes, their best practices, their assignments, and children at their end could do some projects together, to do some solve some assignments together, you know, take up some assessments together, and then, you know, relate with each other. Administrators at their end. So this is what is this Internet of Things. Another, as you were saying about artificial intelligence, I think artificial intelligence is the best thing that has happened in the field of education. Though artificial intelligence, you know, all across the globe, various fields, it is being used in their own ways. For example, if I am talking on a certain topic to you, my phone would pick up that, and you will keep sending me these YouTube videos on the same topic, and I would be surprised, how did it come to know I was talking about this today? So artificial intelligence, no doubt, is being used everywhere, but in education, I think it is the ultimate, where we always had a dream that if we could teach each child individually, but we had that limitation. I've been a teacher. So when you go to a class of 40, 45 children, you give your best. But you know it, that all children have not followed what you said. Maybe 30 have, you did your best and 30 have followed. There are 10 children who are still, they're still struggling to find, to, you know, follow what you said, what you taught. There, you know, 25 children are above whatever, and the others are still struggling. So, and then we could not give the different assessments to 40. We always had time constraints. But when we apply this artificial intelligence into our teaching, you can actually customize curriculum as per the child. Right. As per his talents, as per his abilities, as per his IQ, we could customize, we could see, we could know what he knows, what he doesn't know. That AI will be able to tell you. It will come directly in front of you that each student, this is his graph. And in case this is his graph, now you finalize what you're going to, where you're going to start, how you're going to teach this child, how you're going to come to, you know, this. You customize the curriculum as per the child. So those things which were always dreams for us as teachers, they've come true. And the teachers nowadays, the teachers who are teaching the children, they are lucky. They are so, you can say, evolved, empowered to handle that situation because of AI.
Right. So two things you have been sharing. One is that technology enables personalized learning, wherein the needs of each individual student can be separately assessed and addressed, both the things. And on the other end of the spectrum, technology also enables this collaboration between students by the way of IoT, cloud computing, and all these collaborative platforms. So at one of the end of the spectrum, you have very personalized learning. However, also, you know, at the other end, you have the immense opportunity for students to collaborate. The students may be spread here across the globe, but they can still come together and work on a specific project and share the best practices with each other. And same for teachers, you know, they can work on their own growth and also share best practices across the globe.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
This is the entire spectrum where we see technology helping the education world. And as a technology person myself, it's very, very heartening to know that, you know, educators appreciate the role that technology has and are also open to adoption of technology. So then I would ask you to, we have been talking about the advantages and also various possibilities. I would request you to share some specific case studies, examples of what you have implemented in your group of schools so that, you know, other educators also listening in can benefit from those specific adoptions of specific examples of adoption of technology.
Yes. As I said, that technology has always been very dear to my heart, and I've been taking all my stakeholders with me. In fact, when you know, we started with online classes and all, some parents would come to me and they say that, ma'am, you have started this and we can't even afford to have a laptop or a computer for our children. I said, just don't tell me that. You know, you invest in so many other things. You will invest in gold. You will invest in this. You will invest in so many other things. Why not a computer? This is something which is going to change his, you know, the learning graph. Why don't you invest in that? So I have been motivating not only my teachers, my students, but my parents as well. So this journey started quite early. It's not that we've just got technology in the last few years. We have a pool of, you know, a resource made by our own teachers. We call it the ETLM resource, e-teaching learning material, ETLM. We call it ETLM. So this teaching learning material is a pool, is a resource which has been created by my own teachers. For example, there are 10 teachers who are teaching science to a particular class. One teacher would make you know, a presentation for her own class, and then she would share that put that in the pool, and she'll get 10 other presentations from other teachers. So that pool is where everybody keeps pulling, and you can select anything from of your choice from that pool. So you just have to contribute little, but you get so much. So that resource, this EPLM resource, is a very rich resource. Earlier, when we started, maybe 10, 15 years back, I had outsourced that software where we could get certain the digital content, the videos, the animations from an agency which was outsourced. Then I thought, why not? You know, they take help from my teachers only. Why don't we create our own? So my school has its own resource of this digital content, animations, videos, whatever you name we have. And secondly, there's been integration of all those, you know, things, you know, the 3D models or the various technologies we try to integrate ourselves, you know, getting AR, VR, and AI into everything. Because now this augmented reality, virtual reality is getting so much, and it is so good. If we start talking about this, I think it will take a lot of time, but this AR, VR is really, really the game changer for them in the field of education. So we try to integrate these technologies together so that the teacher gets the best resource to teach the children, so that the children are taught in the best possible way, and the learning becomes lifelong. We also give a lot of importance. I've got a complete IT team which is dedicated to the school only. I don't think most of the schools would have an IT department. We have an IT department with a team of about 5-6 people who would be just dedicated for the networking of the school. In case online classes are taking place from the school, they would ensure that we have the required number of servers or, you know, the lease line. That is their job. I said my network should be working, my internet should be working, my Wi-Fi should be working for all the teachers. So it is their job to get the things done. So this is another thing that we take care of. And then we always provide to the teachers, in case there is some assistance required, they want to buy a good laptop or a good tablet or smartphones and all. We try to give some, you know, something from the school side also, so that the teachers are empowered at least. When they are empowered, they'll be able to deliver better. And we have a stream like financial management stream. You know, they all nowadays they call it commerce with financial skills, CFS. Where there we've got, you know, created virtual platforms for the children to do stock trading.
Okay.
So things, yeah. So we have been evolving with time. It is not that something which is there and they're using. Every time we've been evolving, we've come from here to here just because, for example, when we had this COVID, we had to give assessments online. And assessments online to 6,500 children, question papers to be given. And then sometimes I said that we are going to have these assessments online back and we are going to mark them. So that was a big challenge for my IT team also, for the teachers also. But then we could evolve with small baby steps. We've been evolving. And now we can just say that, yes, we are in sync with the latest technology.
Right. So it has been a continuous evolution, continuous effort at your end, guidance from your end, which has led to this adoption and evolution of technologies which are being used in your school. So with all this adoption of technology, do you see enhancement of critical thinking skills, problem solving skills, collaboration skills in the students?
Yes, that's very important. In fact, if we just talk about technology, if we forget the human factor that is associated with it, with you know, the teaching learning, I think we should not forget that. We should talk about holistic growth of the students. Technology, no doubt, has given us many things, but if we should not forget that qualities like critical thinking, like creativity, like collaboration. You know, all these things have to be rolled up into the teaching, and this should not be forgotten. In fact, technology could be, when we say that, you know, students are that Internet of Things, I told you that we have students from various places, they can share things with each other, teachers can. So that collaboration is being taught by technology to students as well as teachers. This one aspect. But creativity, and then when we say that children have to be create that in that which is inherent talent in the children, that is to be you know, strengthened more, and creativity should not be sidelined anywhere. And that is why whenever they give assignments also, the teachers are asked to let the children produce something new. Nowadays, ChatGPT, everything, ChatGPT, either the teachers or the students would get. But getting to analyze what you get from there, presenting it, what you get from there, that creativity is something which is to be promoted and taken care of. And critical thinking, high order thinking skills, all these things have to be taken care of. Otherwise, our education would not be complete. Technology would definitely is definitely a tool to you know, make learning an unforgettable experience. But these factors should also be taken care of in case we have to, in case or we have to have good rounded personalities, good rounded individuals, human beings who are going to take the, you know, the community forward. So that should be taken care of.
Yeah, so you know, there are a couple of nuances in what you said just now. One is, of course, the human element has to be taken care of always. That cannot be ignored. And also that technology can be an enabler of all these human skills also if it is used in the right way. You mentioned about ChatGPT and how to analyze its output. Also, you need skills of creativity, skills of reasoning, right? So that's a different perspective from what some educators feel, that ChatGPT is a threat. Children would not learn how to write properly. But I also think that, you know, for ChatGPT to give you the right answers, you first have to pose the right questions to it. So that itself, you know, develops your a student's critical thinking skills, right? So how you use technology, how you interpret the results given by technology is also an ability which needs to be developed, because we cannot sideline, we cannot keep the children away from these technologies, because once they go out into the real world, they'll have to work with these technologies. And in fact, they may have to create such technologies also. So helping them learn these technologies while they are at school, the way you have been encouraging in your school, is, I think, the right way to move forward. Yeah. And then, you know, the human element and the educator angle is, like you have said, very important. So you have mentioned that you worked on training of your teachers to help them learn these new technologies, to be in step with all these advancements. So I understand that professional development of teachers is very critical here. What have you know, what are your suggestions or guidelines to other educators who are trying to implement technologies in their schools, how they should approach this concept of helping their teachers stay in tune with technology?
See, teachers, we say, okay, a school may spend huge sums of money to get you know, technology in place in the school. They may have the best of the nowadays. Earlier we used to have plasmas, then there was projectors, and now we have those digital boards. And once we you know, brought some digital boards to the classroom, and the teachers, they started using it, they would not use anything else. And we had to, you know, after 2 we had to get 10, 20. So we almost have digital boards everywhere, because They are the ultimate, and once teachers start using those boards, they would not go like to go back to anything else. So getting this is okay, the schools can do that, but the teachers need to have the necessary skills, the necessary knowledge to use those tools. And for that, training is very, very essential. We just cannot give all these things, all these tools into the hands of a person who doesn't know how to use them. So, training of teachers, that we call it the CPD program, Continuous Professional Development Programs. Those programs are very, very essential. We need to have short-term courses, long-term courses, day-to-day, trainings for teachers to know their subject, one thing, and then to know the skills to impart that knowledge to the students. How they will use those tools of technology to make their subject interesting, to get the things across to the learners, and the learners will not only learn the things just for the sake of learning or for the sake of passing in the exams, they get something for their life. You have to relate whatever you're teaching to the things around you, to the world around you. That is what teaching is all about. Teaching is not something which is in an environment within the four walls of the classroom, and then you're teaching, and this is what teach. No. Whatever you're teaching, does it have some relevance in the lives of the children? And once they find this relevance, children will automatically learn. If you left it at a certain place, the rest of the thing they'll do themselves because they found the relevance. So that is what the role of the teacher is, to ignite the fire within. As a former president used to say, we have to ignite the fire within the children to learn. Each teacher's role is that. So teacher training to know their skills and knowledge is obviously nice but good. So we have to empower our teachers, and then empower our teachers through these workshops and training programs and all. It's very important, and because unless you sharpen your skills, you will not be able to deliver what you want to deliver.
Right.
And secondly, when we talk about this collaboration, creativity for children, for teachers also it is equally important. Collaboration, creativity, and critical thinking is equally important for teachers, and we have to have teachers getting these skills also. So this is what we try to do in our school, at least to empower the teachers so that they can use the tools in their hands efficiently to deliver what they want.
Ma'am, for this professional development, which is such a critical element of all aspects of school, especially the technology adoption, have you faced any specific challenge or a set of challenges or a mindset related challenge while you are trying to get the teachers trained? So what has there ever been challenges related to this professional development, and how you have addressed these? Because because there may be one is that the anything new that is being launched, there is a lot of interest, a lot of anticipation also, but then a lot of doubts, and there are negative connotations also sometimes attached to that it may maybe add on to the burden, it may take away the human touch. So has there ever been such changes, such resistance to learn about newer technologies, and in if so, then how have you addressed them?
See, these challenges, whenever you start something new, challenges always come. This is something very, and then in case nobody wants to come out of their comfort zone. They're very happy, whatever they are doing, all these years they've been doing, they've been giving results. Why do you want to change? So these things are there, and on day-to-day basis, these are handled, and they are, and when you know that, when you broaden your vision, when you know the things, and you then you realize that yes, there's something which is required. if you keep your vision low with it, between those within that area only, then you will not grow. And most of the teachers would are happy coming to school at 7:40 in the morning, taking attendance, and then going for their class, taking their class, holding the test, declaring the results. This is what teaching is all about. But when you tell them we have to change, it's difficult in the beginning. And the ones who've always been there for a long time, they are the ones who would put resistance. And they are the ones who would not allow the younger talent also to learn something which is new. So these are challenges which are taken care of, sometimes on a one-to-one basis, sometimes in a collective manner. We could always hold sessions for them, tell them where the world is going, what we are going to do, why we are doing this. You will find challenges not only from the teachers, you will find challenges from the parents as well. So that this is what, as I told you in the beginning, I found a challenge from my management as well. Why do you want to have computers in the classes? So these challenges are there. And as a leader, you have to know how to navigate those challenges and sail across effortlessly, and then only you'll be able to reach where you want to. And because unless and in case you're doing something good, you're doing something in the interest of the children, in the interest of the teachers, in the interest of the society at large, you will have reasons to tell the people that this is why I'm doing this. And in case you have that convincing power, those people will definitely come along with you. Though they'll have to come out of their comfort zone a bit, you lend your hand a bit, they will come a little bit, and the things will get going. So that convincing and ensuring that whatever is being done is for their benefit. So when I said, when we had this COVID, the first meeting, staff meeting I had after, we met. A little COVID was still not over, but still we had the entire hall. We had teachers sitting at that social distance was to be maintained, physical distancing. So I was talking, I said, see, I said you are not coming to school these days, okay? You are at home. You're not investing in all those dresses and this and that which you used to buy for coming to school. You please invest in a good laptop for yourself. Have a good space in your at your home so that where you can conduct your classes. This is your bread and butter. If you're giving teaching to the children, you are teaching them well. Parents would love to listen to you. Parents would love the children to listen to your classes. Do you want that to happen? For that, you have to learn. Invest in a good laptop. Invest in learning good technology. Don't be dependent on your son or your daughter or your husband. Please come and teach me this. Come and teach me this. So that convincing power makes the difference.
So basically, it starts with first the leadership team or the leader having a broader vision to understand the need of the change. It starts from there, and then the leader having convincing powers to actually help the team see the benefit in implementing that change. So
You're right.
I just that is why I raised this question because we humans we want to work on newer things also, but we want to stay in our comfort zone, as you said. So it's very important for the leader to nudge their team towards change, right? Okay, and then that brings me to another aspect of technology adoption, is that it creates a possibility of collaborating across the globe, but then it also has a possibility of bringing in something we call a digital divide. Or not everybody, including the students or the teacher, having equal access to technology. So how can educators address these issues of digital device or people having lesser access to technology so that education, personalized education, or the other benefits of technology can still be seen?
Definitely. Digital divide is something which we really cannot ignore. And if this happens because, all children, all families are not at the same economic level. So, some children would have an access to the best of the things, best of the technology, because technology comes with money, and some of the children may not have that access. So how to bridge this gap is what you're asking me. But for, the bridging the gap, I think we should all try to, distribute at least the digital devices to all the children. And that sometimes is not possible for all the institutions to do that. But then the institutions can collaborate with some companies, with some government agencies, where they can ask those people to give some devices for their children, and also collaboration, I would say, of the institutions with some organizations, or you can say companies, or with government organizations, to provide digital devices to their children. First of all, is something which will bridge the gap. Second is giving connectivity, because sometimes connectivity is a problem. So we could work on all those, because those children who are good having good connectivity at home, good internet connections at home, not an issue. We identify the children who have an issue, and we could provide solutions to them. We could at least give them some data which they can use at home. Or sometimes, if it is not possible, we could have some extended time for these children in the school itself. They do not take their things for home. They stay in the school, and we give them connectivity devices, everything, 1 hour beyond the 1 or 2 hours beyond the school timings. So that could also be done. And then sometimes these children are not as good in utilizing the digital content that we are giving them. So some special classes could also be held for them, just handholding of these children, so that they are equally competent in utilizing or going through the digital content that school provides. So having their handholding definitely could help. So financial assistance, in a way, definitely would go a long way.
So those are actionable takeaways that people can implement, educators can implement in their institutes to help bridge the digital divide and let it not deter them from implementing technologies at their institute. Right.
It
So,
gives them no reason. It gives them no reason that we are not able to do this because children are. Oh, no, that's not the reason. Go a step ahead and do something about it.
yes. So I like how you have always, right from the beginning of the session, you have talked about, there may be challenges, but once you are convinced of the value of something, it's all about overcoming those challenges in a very practical way, and also getting others along on this journey once you are convinced as a leader that it is important. So it's very heartening to know, and I am sure that audiences who are listening will have a lot of takeaways from this session that you have conducted with us, ma'am. So that brings us to the role of parents. You have previously shared that you suggested parents to invest in technology for their children. Any other message for the parents regarding this topic of technology adoption, and in general also as an educator?
Parents have a very, very, very critical role to play. We just cannot ignore the role of parents when it comes to technology, handling technology. No doubt, teachers are taking care in the school. We've already talked a lot about that. But role of parents is equally important. The first important thing is they have to, set a benchmark, or they have to, put a this is the boundaries. They have to set the boundaries. Okay, this is the time you spend with your device. There are other things which the children need to do: their social interactions, their physical activities, talking in the family only. So all these things the parents have to ensure that it's not only the device all the way. He has to be the boundaries have to be set that beyond this, It is your time to play, physical play, not playing a video game. It is your time for social interaction. So those boundaries have to be set by the parent. Another important thing, when the child is on the, doing some work on the with the devices, obviously he's using some platform, some apps, some websites. So parents also need to be aware of what the child is using, how effective it is. They could be, if they are not having much knowledge about this, they can talk to their teachers and talk to them that, yes, I have, these apps, he's using these apps at home, he's using this web, these websites, he has an access to these websites. The teachers will tell, yes, they are okay, he can do that. So that awareness by the parents is very important. And then not only just watching videos or surfing the websites or whatever, the parents should also know that are the talents like creativity or critical thinking or collaboration being developed by using these, or they are just time pass. That awareness also is to be should be there with the parents. And another important thing, which the parents should the thing is they should talk to the children about the technology that they are using. Okay, what did you watch? What did you, how was the app that is you are using? Okay, is it okay? What questions did it ask? So when you get talking to the children about it, you will come to know that yes, it's okay, it's safe for my child. They will def because children will share everything. So talking about it is also important.
Right.
Then your the tech etiquettes of the parents. How do they use their devices? What are the etiquettes they follow while using their devices? So they have to be role models for their children. So these are some things which the parents have to take care of.
Very important things, ma'am. Very important things. Right from giving the access to technology, getting the right devices, all the way to helping children remain safe in the online world, monitoring their activities, and also another thing, being a role model of how they are using technology, because children do what they see, not only what they hear. So setting up the right examples are very important, and I think these are very important aspects because nowadays every house has a lot of technology, Alexa and everything is there. Parents are also fully occupied with technology, but it has to be done in the right manner. So ma'am, and there are several questions that I would like to discuss with you, but we have already exceeded our time. So I would like, today we are doing it on a very auspicious day of today's Teachers' Day. So we will, I would wind up the discussion with a request for you to share a message for the students, ma'am. What would you like to tell the students about their learning journey or even the life journey which they would be every child would be starting?
Definitely, definitely. I'll definitely do that for my children because my whole life has been for students, and it's something I always, the best part of my teaching journey was when I was in a classroom teaching my children. Teaching was a passion with me. So it was this passion which led me, and here I am because of that passion. And so definitely a message for my children. To students, I would like to convey that embracing technology as a tool for learning is essential in today's world. Take charge of your education. Be curious and use technology to explore and expand your knowledge. Remember that learning is a lifelong journey, and technology can be a friend in this exciting adventure. While technology is a powerful resource, never forget the importance of critical thinking, collaboration, and human interaction in your learning journey. Stay curious, stay engaged, and embrace the opportunities that both technology and traditional education offer. Thank you so much.
That is a very heartening message, ma'am, for all the students. And you have encourage them to embrace the new word and also the traditional word which we all grew up in. So thank you so much for that message to our students, and thank you for giving us, ma'am, your valuable time. I hope that we connect again in the future for further discussion on this and other aspects so that we can gain from your insights. And any for our audiences, any questions that you have for ma'am, do share with us. We will forward them to ma'am and request her request for her insights, ma'am. Thank you once again, ma'am, for giving us your
welcome. Thank you so much. It was absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.